It's a gift when we can receive that this morning. Kids, you're welcome to go off to your classes for some learning and times of blessing. Thanks all the adults who are serving there this morning. Let's just pray as our kids are getting settled into their classes. God, we're grateful that we can join together this morning. We're thankful, God, that we come in as individuals, having experienced what we've experienced this past week, and we join together to become community. And as we join together, we've already raised our voices in praise. And again, as we join together, that praise becomes a sweet offering to you. God, as we settle in this morning, help us to be still and to know that you are God. Help us to believe to our cores that we as individuals are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we give you praise for this time, God. Amen. Good morning. Glad that you're here this morning. How would you finish this sentence? I love to... There we go. And what else would you say if I asked you to finish it again? I love to... And once more. Think inside. And I also love to... And what about, what would your answer be to what gets you excited? What gets you excited? Jesus. And another question, where have you been effective in your life? Where have you been effective in your life? I'm not asking us to shout these out or share these this morning because each one of us will have a very different answer. Some of us might come up with a common thread. But for each of us, what we love to do, what gets us excited, and what we're effective at is very unique to us. This morning, we're going to continue our series, which is entitled SHAPE. And this was an acronym that Pastor Rick Warren created, and it's introduced in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And the basis of SHAPE is that each one of us is created to serve God and others, and that self-awareness of, this is the acronym, self-awareness of our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences help to strengthen the church, they help to strengthen our communities, and they enlarge God's kingdom here on earth. So when we use our SHAPE, for God's glory, we come to know God more fully, and he accomplishes his work through our lives. Last week, Pastor Steve, he started this series, and he was focusing on the S in SHAPE, which is about discovering our spiritual gifts. And I've heard from some of you that this week you took the time to do a spiritual gift inventory or two, and we're hoping that you're thinking about what was revealed to you in the inventory, and how are you going to now use those gifts and ways to serve God and to serve others? And we as staff and as leadership, and I think as a whole congregation, we'd actually love to hear what your gifts are. And we'd love to help you find a way to use those gifts, to find a place to serve within the church or within the community. And this morning, as Steve said, I'm talking about the H of SHAPE, which stands for heart. The Bible uses the term heart to represent the center of our motivations, our desires, and our interests and our inclinations. In a few verses from Scripture, it says, your heart determines why you say the things you do, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And your heart makes you feel the way you do. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And our heart defines why we act the way we do. Guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Another word for heart is passion. And there are certain subjects that you feel really, really passionate about, and others that you couldn't care less about. Some things keep your interest and other things absolutely bore you. Some tasks or activities you could do for hours on end, and other tasks or activities you cannot wait for them to come to an end. And God put these passions in you. Philippians 2:13 reads, "It is God who produces in you the desires and actions that please him." Psalm 27:13 is one of my favorite verses, and it says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And one of the many reasons I celebrate God's goodness on earth is his deep desire for us, who he calls his children, to experience life in abundance. John 10:10 reads, "I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance." So God creates in each of us our passions and our interests and our desires, things that bring us life. And he invites us, in fact, he encourages us to express our passions and express our interests and desires. And when we do that, God in return creates in us joy and life and celebration. We get to feel great out of using the gifts that God put into us, the passions that God put into us. So when we serve out of our passions, God is served, others are served, and most often, we are the recipients of joy. And I celebrate this as a beautiful gift of God's goodness to us, that we get to participate with joy with the gifts that he gave to us, created within us. I confess to you that sometimes I'm a little bit odd in my thinking, but for the first several years when I was in ministry at the Gathering, I didn't feel that it was right for me to count as my work hours the times that I felt great joy or deep satisfaction in ministering to others through my job. So our former pastor Jim used to laugh at me, and he would say, "I think you're working more than your contracted hours." And I would say to him, "Well, I don't count this because this brings me a lot of joy, and I don't count that because that brings me a lot of joy, so I'm not sure if I should count those as working hours." And he would ask me to count those as working hours and to work with a really grateful heart. And to me, again, that is God's goodness. When I serve God out of my passions and out of what I love to do, God gives me joy and deep satisfaction. And at the same time, other people are served, loved, and encouraged. Again, Philippians 2:13. "It is God who produces in you the desires and actions that please him." HEART in the SHAPE acronyms invites us to pay attention to our natural interests, as these interests come from God. It's why we started this morning with "What do you love?" And I hope you think about those things this week. We are encouraged to name and to know what areas and tasks that we excel at, to use our passions and interests to serve God and others. And again, God in his generosity and kindness allows for all of our passions, when they are expressed in love or in service to God, to minister to others, to make a difference. And ministry is simply demonstrating God's love to others by meeting their needs and healing their hurts in Jesus' name. Each time you reach out in love to others, you're ministering to them. We can do all things in love. God gave us our passions as a means of serving others and of serving him. Kicking a soccer ball, painting a picture, baking a cake, delivering a meal, doing the books. All the passions and talents that we were given are given to us by God and help to serve others. Theologian Henry Nouwen wrote, "It is my growing conviction that my life belongs to others just as much as it belongs to myself." God gave us our passions, and he wants us to use them, to invest them. 1 Peter 4:10 reads, "Each of you should use whatever gift, whatever passion you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised." Another author, Oswald Chambers, writes this. He says, service is an expression of my nature, and God's call is an expression of his nature. Therefore, when I receive his nature and hear his call, his divine voice resounds throughout his nature and mine, and the two become one in service. The Son of God reveals himself in me, and out of devotion to him, service becomes my everyday way of life. God and us, God and you, God and me, joining together to serve. As I was preparing for this message, I kept thinking that heart, to me, is best conveyed through stories, through our stories at the Gathering Church. And each time one of you serves from your heart or from your passions, you are ministering. Again, you're demonstrating God's love to others by meeting their needs within our congregation, within the community, with where you work, and beyond that. We are demonstrating God's love. Build a Lunch, as many of you know, is a ministry of our church that demonstrates God's love to the children and their parents of this community. The seed of Build a Lunch was planted when a House of Friendship worker told the church that there were children in Chandler Mowat who were going to school every day hungry. And very, very early in the formation of the Gathering Church, our desire was to run a breakfast club at one of the local schools. And we had made that offer, but it had never been received or accepted. And yet within us was this desire to serve children who were in need. So we began to, we actually continued to ask God to open the doors for that kind of a program and to keep our hearts open. And then again, as many of you know, each Wednesday morning of the school year, this gym, what we call our sanctuary, becomes the home of Build-A-Lunch. And there are about 90 guests each Wednesday morning. The majority of them are children. And together we enjoy a healthy breakfast and conversation and laughter. And then we send the kids off to school with a healthy lunch. And our guests, who we now call our friends, are encountering God's love and justice around tables and over a bowl of cereal and over their absolute favorite breakfast item, which is the English muffin pizzas. So Build a Lunch is full of passion. It's your passions that Build a Lunch is full of. As a congregation, you continue to say, yes, yes, this is our passion. Build a Lunch allows us to be God's heart to this community. And many of you share your passions through allowing for the ministry to be vibrant and to run smoothly. There are two groups of people who come on Tuesday nights to make the lunches and to cut up the veggies and make the sandwiches or the pizza. And on Wednesday morning, another group of people come to serve breakfast and to pack the lunches and to engage in conversation and activities with the children and their parents. And there are also people we don't see who use their passions to serve God through this ministry of Build a Lunch. One person goes to the market each Saturday morning and purchases a variety of fresh vegetables that are cut up and placed in each of the children's lunches. I asked this person this week how his passions, how his heart is influenced this way to serve God. And he replied, "The first thing that made me consider it was that generally the cost of the items in the grocery store was more than what I knew I could get them for at the market. I consider it good stewardship not to pay more than necessary. And then, when I suggested it, I felt it was warmly received, and the task was, I felt quickly passed to me with a sense of relief, an easing of a burden. Amen. Given," the person continued, "that I do value and enjoy serving in a hands-on way, I was even more motivated to take it on, knowing it would be so appreciated. I was going to the market every week already. As much as possible, I buy the veggies from the vendors I've found to be closest to that homegrown goodness I enjoyed growing up, believing that they will be that much more enjoyed by the kids who eat them." This person's passions, being a good steward of money, relieving another's burdens, and serving children fresh produce, all of these God-given passions are used by God to minister to those in need, to help us to be wise with our church finances, and to help the program run smoothly. Another person of the gathering offered to share her passions by making muffins for the children on a monthly basis. The children love homemade muffins. And to make them every Tuesday was impossible because we just don't have room in the ovens in this kitchen. When I asked this woman why she offered to contribute in this generous way, she said, "When I heard about Build a Lunch, I thought it sounded like a fun and meaningful way to get involved in the community. From volunteering in the past, I knew I enjoyed serving in a practical way. Being a stay-at-home mom, I was a little antsy to do something different. It didn't work for me to be at the prep times or serving times, yet I still wanted to contribute in some way. One night at women's group, we talked about serving with what we already have, which seems like a simple idea. On another night without this prompt, I would have let the limitations in my life overshadow the possibilities. On this night, however, I let myself see what was already in my life. I started to think about what I enjoyed doing. Something clicked as I drove home. I'd like to think this was God putting the pieces together. Also, I had asked God to help me to find a way to serve that I enjoyed. I wanted to do something out of joy, not obligation. I had found joy in baking. So then I believe God connected my thoughts and baking for the Build a Lunch program. And it turns out having muffins for the kids' lunches was something Catherine had on her heart too. I took that as an encouragement to participate by making the muffins for the lunches. So the inspiration really comes from the love God has given me, and that overflows, and I want to share it with others." This person's passions: serving in a very practical way, baking, and sharing with others. And God uses her gifts to bring excellence to our ministry and to feed the hungry, which is something Jesus invites us to do. And God rewards her with joy. There are a bunch of other people who serve at Build a Lunch for different reasons, out of their passions. Some people like getting to know new Canadians. Others love chatting with kids. Others have a passion for encouraging people. Others like to serve food. And others like to serve in community with others. Or if you're like me, I really love hugs. And I sure get my fill of those every single Wednesday morning. I've asked Kate to come up and share with us how she serves from her heart at Build a Lunch and how God blesses her. So Kate would say that speaking publicly isn't her passion. So this is a real big act of courage. And Kate, we're really glad that you're doing this.
Catherine asked if I would share a bit about how my passions align with what is happening at Build a Lunch on Wednesday mornings. I had listened to announcements about Build a Lunch for a while and thought it was a really cool thing that our church was doing. However, I really never had any intention of joining. I've been on an extended leave from teaching to be at home with our kids, and it has been a luxurious 5 years so far, of not having to set an alarm clock, on being on no real time crunch to be anywhere in the mornings. So I know this really probably doesn't sound like a big deal to the average working adult who gets up early every day with an alarm clock, but to me it was a big reason why I didn't give it much consideration. I loved our slow, relaxed pace in the morning, and I really didn't want to give this up. But I continued to hear announcements at church about Build a Lunch, and it really did seem like something that would be right up my alley. To me, one of the parts of teaching that I love best is making those connections with kids and building a relationship with my students. So really, Build a Lunch offered me the opportunity to do the fun parts of my job. So last September, I thought me and the kids, would give it a try. Really, there was no reason not to. Since I'm on a leave of absence right now, it gives me lots of flexibility in how we spend our time. And last year felt like a good year to try it out because Elle was not yet in school, so we didn't have the time constraints of school mornings to think about. I also figured it gave me an easy out for the following year if it turned out to be something that ended up feeling like a giant chore each week. So I sucked it up and once a week set my alarm clock to get up and wake up the kids early and get ready to leave for Build-A-Lunch. I should acknowledge there has not been a single week where we have actually made it for the 7:30 start time, but we do roll in around 7:45, 8 o'clock and find a table to join. After our first week, I knew this was something I wanted to continue to do. I just so loved it. It felt like such a great fit for me. There are some kids that we, L, Evan, and I, have gotten to know that are just really hilarious and fun to talk to, and we just genuinely enjoy connecting with them. There are also kids that just so clearly crave love and positive adult interactions, and it has been so rewarding to be able to give that. When I was at work, I worked in a school that had a lot of needs and challenges. As a staff, we were well aware that many of the students came to school with a lot of baggage from home, and this would play out in really challenging ways in the classroom. It has been really neat to kind of be on the other side of this. We get to greet these kids first thing in the morning and hang out with them over breakfast and give them a good start to their day. I love that I can sit and spend time with these kids from the community and be someone who cares about them, who's interested in them, who knows their name, and is happy to see them. To me, it is very fulfilling to know that they are coming to a space where they feel valued, noticed, and loved. Selfishly, it has also been really great for me to feel their love. When these kids walk in and have a huge smile for me and get excited to sit with me and hang out, I can't help but feel pretty great about myself. It has also been really neat for me to see the way that some of the kids from the community engage with my own children. Most of them would know Elle and Evan's names, and I find it really sweet the ways that they try to engage with Elle and Evan by making them little gifts or bringing them little toys to show them. Or when my kids are too shy to go up and ask for an apple by themselves, there are always kids from the community who would love to help them out. It really is a very neat dynamic of ways we can serve, but also receive from these kids. So this year, as Elle started school, we had to reevaluate how this would all work. I knew that I would have an out if I wanted to stop coming, because Elle's school starts at 8:20 in Baden, so the timing is actually pretty crummy for trying to do school and Build-A-Lunch. However, I knew that I wanted to keep coming. So Matt and I talked together, and we both felt okay about sending Elle to school late on Wednesday mornings. Actually, we felt more than okay. We both felt it was a great way for us to model a spirit of service and involvement in what our church believes in. I didn't get a super great feeling from the administrative support in the office when I told them Elle would be late every Wednesday morning. But both Matt and I felt this was a great opportunity for our kids to be a part of serving our community with our church. As the school year went on, I was feeling a little badly for Elle. With this being her first year of school, I really didn't want to create any stress for her by bringing her late every Wednesday and disrupting her classroom routine, which she has grown to love. Matt and I talked, and we agreed that he could stay home a bit later on Wednesday mornings and walk Elle to school those days should she choose. So we've started giving Elle the option of whether she walks to school with Matt and gets to school on time or joins Evan and I at Build-A-Lunch. Most mornings, she has chosen to come to Build-A-Lunch, which has been really neat for us to see as parents. She has her favorite kids that she loves to see and sit and talk with. And Catherine has also made a great effort to give our kids ways to help out, as a 3-year-old and 5-year-old can. They so look forward to pulling the curtain open at the end of Build-A-Lunch. They enjoy taking boxes of cereal into the kitchen, putting recycling away, folding up chairs, or helping to carry tables, which actually makes the job way harder for any adult trying to help them, or even helping Carlos, the custodian here at Chandler Mowat, push his mop around. It has been really neat as parents to see our kids excited to serve in ways that are meaningful to them. This past week, Elle chose for the first time not to come to Build-A-Lunch, so Evan and I came alone. Almost every kid we sat with at Build-A-Lunch asked where Elle was. It kind of made me feel really appreciated and valued, to know that my own kids are noticed and missed and thought about. It's actually a perfect example of how when we serve, it can be very fulfilling for ourselves. These kids who all asked where Elle was made me feel so valued as they missed one of us when we were gone. Build a Lunch has been a very good experience for us, and I think a really good example of how when we serve in areas that we are passionate about, it doesn't feel like a chore, but it's actually an experience that I look forward to each week, other than setting my alarm clock.
I don't like setting my alarm clock either. But Wednesday morning, it seems to be a joy to pop out of bed. Kate, thanks for sharing, and thanks for contributing and inviting your kids into that as well. Church, your passion for practically expressing God's love to others is what created and what sustains the Build a Lunch program. We are demonstrating God's love by meeting some needs for food, for relationships, and for a sense of belonging. God's love is an action. And it's also so amazing to us that we get to send the hungry away full, full in their tummies and full in their hearts. It's flowing God's love into dry and weary places, and it's inviting people to know God's love for them. Heading to school with a yummy and delicious lunch makes kids smile, and it really does positively impact their days. And the conversations and the weekly check-ins, our guests get to know that they belong, that they are important. And as Kate represented, it also makes us know that we belong and that we are important. A scripture that I deeply believe in is found in Psalm 139. And the psalmist says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I wonder if you can say that with me. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to get you to close your eyes and really say it as a prayer, as a gift of thanksgiving to God. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It can take us a lifetime to authentically praise God for who He made us to be. Often we are uncomfortable with our physical features, or our talents, or how we perceive that we lack any good gifts. But as we grow into understanding of who we are and how God designed us not only wonderfully, but how He also designed us to serve Him and others, we can be set free to live fully and to live from our hearts. I'll tell you one more story. There is this wonderful boy at Build a Lunch. All of them are wonderful. And without our knowing, he was being teased at school about his looks. And at one of the Build a Lunch mornings, he was sitting with one of our volunteers who is passionate about one-to-one conversation. So this volunteer wants to sit at one table and engage with one child. And on this morning, our volunteer said to this boy, "You know, you have the greatest smile ever." And to this, the boy said, "Kids at school call me Beaver Teeth. So I try hard not to smile." And our volunteer said, "Oh, please don't stop smiling. Your smile makes me feel so happy. Keep smiling. You have the best smile in the world." The adult that was serving out of his passion of caring for those in need. And by being there, of the church being there in that moment, he invited this boy into God's view of him, fearfully and wonderfully made, with a smile to share. And I believe that moment, I hope that moment, will have an eternal impact on that boy, that he will know that he is loved and that he is valuable and cared for, and that God's voice, through another's passion, defeated the lie that his smile wasn't beautiful. And I hope that the world will see this boy's passion one day through his smile. Church, in this room, in our sanctuary, and in the classrooms down the hallway, there is a massive amount of talents, of resources, of creativity, of energy, and of passion. And by sharing your passion with the church, you are serving God and contributing to the gathering's mission. God created these passions in you, and he intends for you to use them to bring glory to his name and healing to others and to increase justice and love. We invite you to share your shape with the church. Steve said last week that he only wanted to talk to you after service about your spiritual gifts. So today, I would love to talk to you about your passions. So come and tell me about what energizes your heart and talk to Steve about all other things. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. We are created to serve from our hearts. Your passions are a necessary part of bringing God's love and hope to this world. How can you offer what you love to God and to others? What do you love to do? What energizes you? I encourage you to explore with God how you can offer your heart, your passions to God and to his service, because there is room for all of our passions. Let's pray together as the band comes forward. God, when the psalmist said, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made," he was making a very bold statement in that word of praise. God, help us to be like the psalmist, to believe that we are wonderfully and fearfully made by you, that you, out of your great, great love for us, designed each one of us uniquely with passions, with energies, and that you created us to join in this beautiful gift of love that you call service. God, I pray if there's any people here this morning that think, I don't have a passion that can be used, that you would flip that lie on its head and that you would give them an opportunity to experience joy by serving out of their passion. God, for any of us who may be saying, I don't know if I should really let my light shine, help us to lean into you. Help us to know that you invite us to be the city on the hill, that we are not to hide those gifts of passion that you place within us. And for those of us who are encouraged and energized and ready to go, I thank you in advance, God, that as we serve you out of our passions, you will give to us this great and unending joy. We thank you, God, that you are good and loving. And we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, designed by you for your purposes. Amen. Thank you.